With China no longer the world's trash can, these mass recycling workers may soon find their jobs outsourced abroad. This factory outside Shanghai spins plastic scrap into new things like furniture, but it's the last of what was once 22 facilities in the area. Beijing banned imports of foreign trash at the start of the year, and it's upended how the whole world deals with garbage. It's also cut recyclers off from millions of tons of plastic rubbish the EU and US sent to China every year.
Mexico's next president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, doesn't take office until December, but one of his plans is already stirring controversy. A kinder, softer approach to drug lords. The left-leaning politician advocates negotiated peace and amnesty for some of the very people currently targeted by the country's security forces, adopting the philosophy of a local bishop in the violent, opium-laden mountains of Guerrero, where much of the heroin in the United States originates.
It looks like there might finally be some good news for Tesla after a string of negative coverage over the manufacturing of its Model 3. The company now appears to have met its own deadline for second quarter production of the consumer-focused electric vehicle. After repeatedly missing its own Model 3 targets, the company set itself a goal of 5,000 cars per week in January. Production of the Model 3 began last July and has been plagued by issues, including over-automation on the factory floor and other bottlenecks.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's July 3rd, and it's 5:09 in the morning. We're glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day getting underway. It is 4th of July week. We know it's a light week for a lot of folks, but we're here this morning, and we'll be off tomorrow and then back again on Thursday. But if you're up and at 'em this morning, we're happy that you've tuned in for our regular morning conversation about business news a little bit later in the program. Are those electronic cigarettes getting a bad rap? Some people say that perhaps the benefit is that they're helping people actually stop smoking cigarettes, and maybe they shouldn't get so much bad press. We will have a conversation about that in our second segment this morning at about 5:40. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Asian markets tumbled this morning as back and forth exchanges over possible higher U.S. tariffs for the auto sector deepened concerns that a trade war is brewing. The U.S. and China, the world's two largest economies, are set to impose tariffs on billions of dollars of each other's products starting on Friday. This morning in the markets, the Nikkei off about a quarter, the Hang Seng off more than a percent and almost a percent and a half now, down 409 points. In Europe, markets are generally in the green with the DAX, the FTSE, and the CAC all positive. In Germany and France, markets are up by more than a percent, in London by about a half a percent. And in the U.S., Dow futures are up about 110 points heading to the opening bell later this morning. NASDAQ futures are up about 30. S&P futures are up about 10. Oil is at 74.73 a barrel, a 79-cent increase, up more than a percent. We're looking down the barrel at $75 a barrel oil sooner than later. A couple of stories we're watching for you this morning. A published report says the federal probe into Facebook's sharing of user data with Cambridge Analytica now involves the FBI, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the Justice Department. The Washington Post reporting representatives from those agencies have joined the Federal Trade Commission in the inquiry. The newspaper cited five unnamed people familiar with the matter. Those people spoke on condition of anonymity because the probes are not complete. The probe reportedly centers on what Facebook knew in 2015 when it learned that the political data mining firm Cambridge Analytica had improperly accessed the personal data of tens of millions of Facebook users. Facebook didn't disclose the incident with the political firm, which later worked for the Trump campaign and other Republican candidates until this March. The Post in its story says the probe will look at why Facebook didn't inform users or investors earlier. Investigators are examining actions and statements of the company and its executives, including CEO Mark Zuckerberg. According to the report, Facebook confirmed to the Associated Press that it has received questions from those agencies and says it is cooperating fully with those investigations. Looking for a plastic straw to sip your soda? It's no longer allowed in Seattle bars and restaurants. Neither are plastic utensils. The latest push to reduce waste and prevent marine plastic pollution is underway there. Businesses that sell food or drinks won't be allowed to offer the plastic items until a rule that went into effect on Sunday. Seattle is believed to be the first major U.S. city to ban single-use plastic straws and utensils in food service, according to the Seattle Public Utilities Company. The eco-conscious city has been an environmental leader in the U.S., working to aggressively curb the amount of trash that goes into landfills by requiring more options that can be recycled or composted. The city's 5,000 restaurants, including Seattle-based Starbucks outlets, will now have to use reusable or compostable utensils, straws, and cocktail picks, though the city is encouraging businesses to consider not providing straws altogether or switch to paper rather than compostable plastic straws. Proposals to ban plastic straws are being considered in other cities, including New York and San Francisco. So everyone will be watching Seattle very closely. A disagreement over the budget Puerto Rico will use this fiscal year has deepened as the governor of the U.S. territory yesterday signed the version approved by legislators instead of one implemented by a federal control board over the weekend. The governor says the board's budget is not in Puerto Rico's best interest and that he is prepared to defend his decision, leading many to believe the issue might end up in court as Puerto Rico tries to restructure a portion of its $70 billion public debt amid an 11-year recession. We saw recently an opinion piece on Bloomberg, the e-cigarette company Juul, providing a valuable alternative to smokers if only it can turn off teens, was the headline. We thought we'd take a little dive into this morning with the person who wrote this to talk about the debate, whether or not there is some health concerns here. Joe Nocera, a Bloomberg opinionist, with us this morning. Joe, interesting piece that you've written. The debate is what here? That perhaps e-cigarettes are getting a bad rap because teens are trying to use them and not necessarily a good rap for helping smokers quit? Is that it?
The debate is really about whether vaping is an improvement over smoking or not. So obviously smoking kills 400,000 people, 400,000 Americans every year, many more worldwide. And advocates of vaping argue that if you ingest nicotine without lit tobacco, you will remain addicted in all likelihood because nicotine addicts, but it won't kill you. So for adult smokers, there's not much argument that would be an improvement. The real rub comes with teenagers, with kids who used to experiment with cigarettes, and now they're experimenting with vaping, and it's become a huge trend. And so then the questions become, will vaping lead them to become smokers? You know, is it harmful to them even without the smoke of the lit tobacco and the carcinogens? Is it harmful for them to become addicted to nicotine or to ingest nicotine on a regular basis? And then also, are there harms in vaping that we don't know about yet because it hasn't been around long enough and it hasn't had the gestation period that smoking has in people's lungs and so on and so forth? So those are the core issues. And generally speaking, the public health community in the United States takes the view that it's potentially harmful enough to kids, vaping is, that it should be kept, you know, away from them and as much as possible, and they won't even go so far as to say it's good for adult smokers because they're afraid that will somehow leach into teenage vaping.
Yeah, and so their arguments are being heard. I know a number of states, I think Illinois is among them, they're actually banning these products from use for kids. So it's gone from a public health recommendation or public health thoughts to actual legislation in many places.
Well, that's true. I mean, mostly they are banning it for anybody who is under 21. But, you know, let's be realistic here. Cigarettes are also banned for most people who are under 21. Alcohol is banned for people who are under 18, at least. And yet, kids are able to access alcohol and cigarettes. And so, Just because it's banned doesn't necessarily mean it's that is going to keep it out of the hands of teenagers.
Yeah, and some people might argue it would make it even more attractive to teenagers.
Well, yes, that's very true. I mean, I would argue that they'd be better served not making such a big deal out of vaping, and that might well make it less attractive.
So you've written that you think this electronic cigarette's gotten a bad rap then, right?
Yeah, I mean, there is a second view, which is, I'm not the only one who's taken it. I mean, there are a lot of prominent people who used to be in the tobacco control community back in the day who believe that vaping could really save lives. The British, who have largely embraced vaping, have said that it's 95% safer than cigarettes, and they encourage people to vape, unlike in the United States. Now, the theory behind vaping as a public health aid is what's called harm reduction. In other words, you take something that's really harmful and you replace it with something that's less harmful, as opposed to being harmless. So the classic case is heroin, where it's a public health policy very often in many states to give people methadone instead of heroin, because it's less it causes fewer problems and it's less addictive, and but it still gives people a high, so they feel like they can get away with not shooting up heroin. In the case of vaping, you would basically say to a smoker, look, this product Juul will give you the same satisfaction, nicotine satisfaction, that you get with a cigarette, but you won't be ingesting 400 carcinogens. The lit tobacco that kills you won't be there. So if you could make this switch, there's a really good possibility that you'll live longer. I find that argument to be extremely compelling. And I argue that the public health community would be so much better served if they could encourage adult smokers to switch to vaping, even as they're trying to discourage kids from taking it up in the first place.
How much does the financial part of this debate impact on what we're talking about? Obviously, the makers of these electronic cigarettes have a lot of money to lose or make, depending on how this goes.
Sure, they do. But what's interesting is that in the United States, almost all the sort of hot products, Enjoy and Juul primarily, they're not owned by big tobacco. They're startups. They're small companies. And, they claim to be in the business of trying to eradicate smoking, that's their goal. Even though under the current law, they can't say that out loud. So what's happened is, in the case of Juul, they've had enough success that they're actually going back to the markets and trying to raise over $1 billion. But they're not Philip Morris and they're not Reynolds American, and they don't have billions and billions and billions of dollars. Now, abroad, Philip Morris International has a product called Heat Not Burn that has been a huge success in Japan and would be a competitor to Juul, but that it hasn't been introduced in the United States yet.
So how would you like to see this debate reshaped then?
Well, very simple. Instead of the CDC, the federal government, and all the tobacco, anti-tobacco people condemning vaping unilaterally for everybody, I think the debate should be reshaped to say, if you're an adult smoker, try this. It will help you live longer, and it will get you off cigarettes. And yet, at the same time, we're going to tell teenagers, we don't think this is, healthy or good for you, and do you really want to have a lifelong addiction, even if it isn't tobacco? And I think that's what they should be saying. If you look at the statistics, Steve, adult smoking is now 13.9%. That is historically low. And if you look at kids' youth smoking, it's 7.6%. It's under 8%. That is astounding. It is astonishing that we have accomplished that. And if you look at the charts, there's no question that the decline in adult smoking and youth smoking is absolutely correlated with the rise of vaping. And I think the public health community would be so much better served if they acknowledge that and embrace that instead of making believe that's not happening.
Yeah, the people who have been campaigning against tobacco products and against smoking have, even in their advertisements, say their goal is to have zero smoking. Do you think that that's impacting this conversation?
Yes, I do. Oh, for two reasons. Number one, under the law, vaping is considered a tobacco product. So even though it has no tobacco in it. So it's easy for the public health community to say, we want to abolish tobacco products. Therefore, since vaping is a tobacco product, we want to abolish vaping. That's point one. Point two is the public health community has always believed, you know, that basically people should just quit. That it's kind of an abolitionist. You shouldn't replace it with anything else. But you should just, you know, stop. And I think they've been hard pressed to get rid of that mindset, which 20 years ago made perfect sense because there were no reasonable alternatives. But today makes much less sense because there are reasonable alternatives.
Joe, interesting conversation here. Thanks for joining us and putting in your two cents on this.
Thanks for having me. Right. Thanks for letting me put in my two cents worth.
All right, we appreciate it. Take care.
Okay, take care.
Joe Nocero, columnist for Bloomberg Opinion, co-author of All the Devils Are Here and Indentured, the inside story of the rebellion against the NCAA. You can find him on Twitter at opinion_Joe.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures up 120 this morning, a half a percent heading to the opening bell at 8:30 Chicago time. It's going to be an abbreviated day, by the way, of trading on Wall Street because of the 4th of July holiday. NASDAQ and S&P futures are higher as well. Gold is also a little bit higher this morning, up almost $6.20 an ounce at $1,247.90. Silver higher as well. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning. As we check those weekly crop progress reports from USDA issued yesterday, a little bit of a decline in corn and soybean conditions, but not enough to make a difference, and conditions are still historically high for this time of the year. But soybeans posted their lowest close in 2.25 years in yesterday's trade. July soybeans ended the day down 10.75 cents at 848.5 a bushel. Corn, especially hard hit, down 12.5 cents. July at 337.5, and July wheat down 17.75 cents at 480.25. And that low corn price also brought an upward move to feeder cattle prices at the Mercantile Exchange yesterday, because lower feed costs will probably mean more feeder cattle moving into feedlots, and cattle prices climbed because prices for corn sank to life of contract close. On the other hand, some hog contracts fell because of fear that Mexico, the top importer of U.S. pork, could escalate the trade war and pick on pork for retaliation. But feeder cattle prices yesterday, the August feeder cattle contract up 87 cents a hundredweight, August live cattle up 52 cents, and hogs down $2.02. And before I leave you, a quick answer to an email from a listener in a western suburb who said, I thought corn was supposed to be knee-high by the 4th of July, but I traveled into the country this weekend, and it's shoulder high. What happened? Well, seed and technology and new traits being introduced into the corn plant. Now, yeah, shoulder high, not uncommon on the 4th of July. Have a great day, and the markets will close today at noontime. That's your money on 720 WGN.
All right, thanks, Ori. And a couple of other stories here before you leave you this morning, one involving Chicago-based Boeing. Boeing and Embraer have apparently been preparing contracts for their proposed merger, expected to submit them to the Brazilian government within 2 weeks, according to the Reuters news agency, citing a local newspaper there. The company said in April that they were in talks to set up a new company focused on commercial aviation, excluding the Brazilian company's defense division and possibly its business jet unit. The tricky work of dividing up the three business segments has held up the deal, though. But the contracts will define how engineers will be divided between the new companies controlled by Boeing and a defense company that Embraer will retain, according to the report. So that could be news coming back from the 4th of July holiday. And there's also a story this morning about Samsung smartphones. A report says that the smartphones are sending out users' pictures to their contacts without their permission. This according to a number of complaints of people who've been posting this online. The issue appears to be affecting the Galaxy S9 and Galaxy Note 8. Users have been reporting that one said that his entire photo library on his phone was sent over text to his girlfriend, but there was no record of it on his messaging app. He discovered it via T-Mobile logs. Users are reporting that it is an issue with Samsung Messages, the default messaging app on the devices, so be aware of that. If you have those two phones, again, the Galaxy S9 and the Galaxy Note 8. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, July 3rd, it's going to be a quiet day, as Orion mentioned and I mentioned. The markets are going to close early today, but we will get a report on factory orders. The Red Book is due out as well. When we come back from the break on Thursday, Thursday is going to be a busy day. We'll get mortgage applications. The Challenger job cut report is due out, the ADP employment report, jobless claims are due, the ISM non-manufacturing index, the EIA petroleum status report is due out. And then on Friday, the jobs report is due for the month, and we'll get a note on natural gas supplies as well on Friday to close out the week. Just some of the things that could move the markets on those days and today, which is Tuesday, July 3rd.